Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore. At Baltimore Positive, we're positively in Harford County. We're in Abingdon, where Harford County Executive Barry Glassman tried to recruit me here. I have other people, residents, people who live off the soil here up next to the Susquehanna and the Conowingo. We are at Conrad's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're playing next week at Pappas's in Cockeysville. But in the meantime, I have finally, like The Rock, returned to Abingdon. Eric Sauer's here from There Goes My Hero. Bill Cole. You guys have never met, right? Never? Maybe?
We met somewhere along the way.
Yeah, we're thinking we did. So
you don't know where, though?
No, well, you know.
Through me?
Potentially.
Of course.
Yeah.
No,
course.
I don't know. I'm only asking. Well, this whole thing exists because of him and because of you, right? So the story is, my wife gets cancer on March 20th of 2014. I met you like 2 weeks later, and Jen's in the hospital. Spent 5 or 6 weeks the first time in the hospital. And during this period of time, you started becoming a guest on my show.
Right.
And my wife's in the hospital, comes out. Then you came down to the condo, were a guest on the show when I started broadcasting after I made switches in the summer. And sometime around then, I approached Bill about being a sponsor. And Bill said, hey, you're doing all these segments with the hero guy and like, see, these heartwarming stories and stuff. You should do more of that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm really enjoying doing this, not just having people bitch about box scores and standings and quarterbacks and all of that. So Bill is really the sort of the architect of Baltimore Positive. It's true. And you were sort of the one that kind of came in here and tried to keep my wife alive. So it is nice that you're here together. We're all here together on a holiday, no less.
Nonetheless, right.
Can I just make one clarification?
Yes, please.
I don't want to be the architect. I would prefer to be the instigator.
Instigator. All right.
My architect implies some sort of structural, you know, like real science.
Well, I don't know what you said, but it inspired me.
I instigated.
It still does.
Instigate.
Inspirer. Chief inspirer. All right.
My wife might call me an instigator, too.
Yeah. CIO.
It's something I'm more comfortable with.
Eric founded There Goes My Hero, and you celebrate all sorts of occasions of transplants, birth, children's birth, your rebirth, your donor's birth, your donor's marriage. Your donor having babies now?
No babies yet.
All right, just checking.
She just had a birthday a week ago.
Well, tell everybody your story in case they're new to the party. Bill, do you know his whole story?
No parts of it. No, I'll admit to like trying to read it on the way over here just in case. So
you do know
it now. I was trying to do my homework. Yes.
What year was it? 2008?
2008, right.
Right. All right. So go ahead. You're diagnosed with leukemia.
2008, I was diagnosed up here at Upper Chesapeake, and they, first things first, sent me down to Hopkins and, you know, said, don't pass go, don't collect your
$200. And you live in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
You live right down the street from
3 miles.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 miles. So sent me to Hopkins, immediately said, you're going to need a bone marrow transplant in order to survive, and kind of checked me into Hotel Hopkins, as I called it.
Yeah, so we called it too. We got real familiar with that. I have not been back recently. My wife is past her 5-year mark, which is a little bit of a magic mark, right?
It's a good mark.
Yeah,
solid mark.
I haven't been back in a while, and we're getting rid of our condo now, right? So we're boxing up stuff, and she still has gifts, trinkets, little mojo things that people did the first time, let alone the second time. But, you know, the move on part of 18 and a half years now down at the Inner Harbor was sort of like that she survived there. And, like, for me at this point, taking a check back and saying, you're doing well, she's doing well, Michelle's doing well, we've lost other people along the way. But every day this leukemia thing comes to us. And I don't know whether it's because we say the word and Siri hears it or whatnot. Hey, honey, what was the leukemia story this morning on TV? There was a leukemia story 8 o'clock this morning on our television. It was a child who had leukemia that came into our world. Like, every day I hear the word leukemia. Last week, I was doing the crab cake tour at Nick's Grandstand Grill up in Timonium. We were up there with Tommy Chigoris. Leonard Raskin joined us that day. And I met a gentleman at the bar, and he said to me, Penn State. I'm like, he played at Penn State. Oh, yeah, did you play with John Cappelletti? Yeah. Oh, John Cappelletti. That's the first time I heard of leukemia. The song for Joey. Like, you know, all of that stuff. Brian's song comes up when Gale Sayers
dies. Right.
Leukemia every single day. I hadn't heard a word about it in forever. My wife gets it. I don't think there's a day that goes by where it doesn't come into my world somehow.
Which it's interesting like that. I mean, this is 13 years since my diagnosis, and you know, people enter my lives, people who were friends of mine as a kid come back into my life because that word, leukemia, pops up somewhere. You know, it's a friend who's diagnosed, it's a friend of a friend, and you know, those people are always brought to my attention, so hopefully I can, you know, bring some spirit, some positivity.
This guy came to my wife's bedside the day she had her, explained to him what was done to her that day with the spinal and, like, all of that. Because that was, like, a really bad day I met you.
No, was that the spinal tap or was that the bone marrow biopsy?
It was the spinal tap.
Okay, okay. So, you know, when you're going through this whole regimen of chemo, one of the things, the chemo itself goes into your blood system. Your spinal cord and that whole system can also be, I guess for lack of a better term, be infected.
Compromised
sure. By leukemic yeah. cells. But that won't get touched by the chemo that's in your blood. So they do a separate chemo into your spinal fluid. And so it's
he meets me at the hospital. You're grimacing, Bill Cole.
Yeah.
He meets me at the hospital and he said, whatever you do, go up there right now and tell her don't sit up. Whatever you do, stay flat. Whatever you do, stay flat, stay flat, stay flat. No one had told her that. So Eric's role in this in the very beginning, along with Michelle, who came and sat bedside with my wife on weekends on her downtime when she wasn't lawyering after having her life saved, special person, Michelle Presnick-Walsh, but telling her what to expect. Like, I kept saying to him and Michelle, you guys are astronauts. You've been to the moon. You came back. One thing to get to the moon, we can shoot you out there, but you got to get back, you know? Right. Like, surviving this with something, having resource, like somebody that, like you, knowing roofs, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
When you've survived it, I reached to you for that resource, and so many times you were like, this is going to happen. Lesions are going to happen. Get some ice. Her skin's going to burn. She's going to get nauseous. She's going to be sick as a dog for a week. Like, all of these things that he was very predictive about. Like, quite frankly, I beg the doctors on rounds every morning. What's next? I need to know what's next. Tell me what to prepare for. You were the one that was there for me in that.
Well, it's hard to say, too, right? I mean, everybody's journey is a little bit different, or a lot different, quite frankly. And I had I guess in some cases you look at it as a fortune, but the misfortune of having a lot of the side effects hit me. So I had, you know, the skin rashes. I had the nausea. I had, you know, losing of hair, the fingernails. I was blind for a few days. I became diabetic for a few months. I mean, these are the things that I can remember 13 years later. You know, there's probably a list that's 30 points longer than that.
She doesn't remember anything.
Yeah, it's.
And if she does, she doesn't talk about it, but right. she doesn't remember much of it. Like, I know she doesn't remember, because it's, I think it's easier for, I mean, I had my finger cut off. I haven't thought about it in 50 years until I got hit with that needle on the table about 6 weeks ago, and I felt the same sensation. I'm like, oh, this isn't good. I remember. But it's very easy to put that. It's better to put that stuff away in a lot of ways.
You have to compartmentalize it. You have to put it in its place. You know, I don't go to Hopkins much anymore, but if I go down there and go into the parking garage, you know, my palms get a little sweaty. I get a little nervous. I guess it's my iteration of PTSD. You know, it's...
Is it weird that I'm generally getting nervous just listening to him have to talk about it right now?
Well, you know, and it's different. And I, as a caregiver, and with her, and we're going to bring my wife. My wife's up here, by the way. We're at Conrad's. Eric Sauer's here. Bill Cole's here. I think for me, my experience was so sober. I was so awake, so alert, sleeping 4 hours a day, going back and forth to the hospital. I would show up at the hospital, and she just would be passed out or in a coma, literally, or in a sleep, and I wanted to leave her. I didn't want her awake. Awake was bad, you know. Sleeping was good. So, like, all of it's very real to me. And when I tell people, like, all this best of stuff that I put on the radio and have, all that happened when she was sick because I was taking literally this laptop with a cord and transcribing, because I was looking for something to do, something to pass time. Your wife was raising, like, an infant and a 5-year-old at the time, you know, like I saw this door to door, and I guess this is where Hero comes in. This is where your charity comes in, because this is where your gift is. We didn't need for anything. You know, we had insurance. Right. We needed a donor, which we had, you know, but we didn't need things. Where Hero comes in is taking that gap that if we had 3 kids at home, if I didn't have a job, if I couldn't do my job, if she were the breadwinner and I were not the breadwinner, what would happen in those circumstances?
Well, like you, we were really blessed to be okay financially through that whole experience. We had a newborn son. We had a 4.5-year-old. And I was hospitalized for the better part of 6 months, 107 days in the hospital, and then probably in and out of the hospital every other day for 6 months. And you think
it's called IPOP.
IPOP, yes.
IPOP.
Nurses there are wonderful, by the way.
There.
But if you think about what that, you know, start adding up the days, right? If it's 6 months every other day you're in the hospital,
90.
It's 107 days in the hospital for me. And, you know, you can't work. You don't work, right?
Well, I think the other freaky part about that period of time is I would go down there on Saturdays and Sundays, because her leukemia didn't care what day of the week it was, right? But Saturdays and Sundays at the hospital were like, there's no one there except you. Right. So you would go through these periods where, like, you have these memories of how somber it was at Christmas when she was fighting for her life on Christmas.
Yeah, we were there on Thanksgiving 2008. We found a little glass enclosed room and brought the turkey in and everything. And
nice.
You know, had Thanksgiving in Weinberg.
Well, there you go. Yep. And here you are 13 years later having Thanksgiving at Conrad's. Tell folks what Hero does, because, I mean, I've swabbed thousands of people, but you're still out on the street doing lots and lots of work.
Yeah,
right now.
So we try to keep it really simple so people understand. So my life was saved and Jen's life was saved because of anonymous donors. Ours both happened to be in Germany. So let's call it Caucasian, Euro-Americans tend to find their matches. But people, you know, people of color, people of mixed ethnicity are not finding matches. So what we try to do is we try to go out in the community and get people on the bone marrow registry.
And that means in 2021, what? What does one need to do to get on the bone marrow registry?
I mean, it's the same exercise as it was a few years ago, but it's a little bit more difficult with, you know, pandemic and the ability to get people together.
I think it's been 5 years since I've had you on a show. It's been a long time since I've had you explain the reg. Do you even know? Are you on the registry?
I don't know. Maybe.
Have you put a Q-tip in your mouth on our behalf?
I don't know. Like, I can't remember. Like, I know you did it forever, and I gotta believe I came at some point and did it, but I don't really remember doing it.
Call's doing too many roofs these days.
You know?
I think it's all running together right now.
I mean, you would think I would know, so maybe I'm not.
All right, well, go ahead. All right, but so I am on the registry, but it's the exact same way we do it.
So pre-pandemic, we'll call it.
Okay.
We would host events. We get large groups of people together, and we tell this story and say, come on up, join the bone marrow registry. We have all the tools here. You know, it's a simple swab, like a Q-tip to the cheek.
And if you get called, you can save a life.
Right.
Now, people ask how Niels, who saved my wife's life, did it. Used to be hip, extremely painful. Niels had a pick line on the right, pick line on the left, sat and watched a movie in a movie suite.
Right.
That's literally twice, exact same process both times. That's how he did it in 14 and 15.
And that is the much, much more common way. I'd say that's probably happens 98% of the time.
In the modern era.
They're taking it from your peripheral blood. They're taking your blood, removing the stem cells, keeping the stem cells, giving your blood back. And it's like the exercise of giving blood, except that you actually get your blood back. So you walk out of there kind of almost.
Well, I just remember what it was like to walk into that hotel in Essen, Germany, and there's the kid that saved my wife's life. There's a whole different level of a connection and something special, especially during this pandemic. We're trying to get him over here. We're trying to get over there. We got COVIDs and variants and deltas and all of this kind of stuff. But the relationship that you have with your donor, tell everybody about your donor.
So let's reverse back to 2008. I'm going through all my trials, and it's fits and starts, as you know. You know, with Jen, these things just don't happen as smoothly as you want or expect them to. So as I'm going through these fits and starts, there's a young woman in Germany kind of being called. Hey, we got this guy. He's not doing well. he needs your stem cells. Oh, he's at the hospital. Let's go. Nope. Time out. He's sick. We can't do it.
We had the exact same scenario.
Yeah.
We had to put the brakes on the guy saving her life and hope that he was going to be there 5 days later.
So we have this 19-year-old girl in Germany. I mean, my son's 17, about to be 18, and I can't imagine if he's, you know, being called at a hospital every other week. Whether he,
Well, the funniest thing is when we met Niels, I said to him, I'll never forget this because his English is very good. His English is better than most people I know from Dundalk. No, I said to him, when Jim was really in peril and we were with the doctor showed us the five people's identification that could save her life. 54-year-old woman in America, you know, 29-year-old female in Norway, or, you know, whatever. And there was the 19-year-old man in Germany. He's like, we're going to take that person. And so that was like the meeting we had. And you know, she's in peril. She's
bald. Is it common to have like lots of options there?
If you have a European heritage, yes.
Right.
If you're Tiger Woods, no.
No.
Got it.
Right. Or you're mean, no. Right.
Got it.
So this was, she's in peril. We're wondering about all of this process. And when we reached to the donor, it came back that this donor was ready to do it. You know what I mean? The donor had said, I'm in, okay? So at that point, the doctor referred, Dr. Pratz, Keith Pratz, saved my wife's life twice, said to her, we have a motivated donor. You need to get ready for a transplant. You need to get healthy. You need to go upstairs and fight. You need to do your rounds. You need to fight through this chemo so we can basically kill you and then dump this stuff into you to bring you back to life. And at this point, he kept calling him a motivated donor. So Neil saves her life once. We go on a baseball tour. Life's good. She almost dies the second time. Neil saves her life again. She comes back to life. Year later, we can find him. We go to Germany. We're in Germany. And I said to him, the doctor called you a motivated donor. He said, motivated? You must tell my mother. I've never been called motivated before. So we had a motivated donor. So I wanted to use that.
Yeah, I would suggest Isabel falls in the category of motivated. She had had a coach when she was 18 pass away from leukemia. So she stuck with it even through all the fits and starts that I was delivering. And so I received her bone marrow. You know, it was flown over from Germany. It landed in Dulles. It drove up 95. It landed in me at 9 p.m. at Hopkins on November 18th. So just about
November
a week
18th
ago.
November 18th of 08.
Of 08, yep.
You and I were watching Joe Flacco battle through his first rookie season right about then.
So how well do you think people understand that it's not the really painful hip thing anymore?
It's still an education process. People don't really... They just... There's a connotation from just the word bone marrow that, hey, right, we're gonna crack open your bones, we're gonna pull that marrow out.
I swear to God, I thought that's what was gonna happen.
Right. And it's even the worst of the old school is not that bad relative to what people's connotations are. But that's getting someone to join the bone marrow registry who does not have a connection to somebody who's going through it. It's an education process. You have to show them, hey, this is how it works. We swab your cheek, and if you're called, you know, you go through a couple tests, and then...
And you get to save someone's life.
You get to save someone's life, but it's a needle. It's in your arm, pulling your blood out like you're donating blood. You know, there's a little medication that gets your bone marrow stimulated and out into that system, but it's not this really aggressive...
It's a couple of shots... It's a blood donation, and it's a nap the next day. Probably what it is.
It has such a more significant, challenging brand that, you know, I don't know what else, other word to use.
Yeah, no, like that's a good way of putting
people's
it.
People's opinion of it prior to understanding.
It's like the words
scary.
Defund the police or like these phrases, bone marrow transplant. Woo!
Sounds really scary.
Yeah, it sounds like Frankenstein, right?
It's pretty scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're here and survivors abound. Eric Sauer's here from There Goes My Hero. My wife, Jen, is to the right. Bill Cole's here from Cole Roofing. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play. I was very happy. I walked into Conrad's. We're here in Abingdon. Maryland lottery machine right at the front door. I'm like, oh, right. There's so many places lottery machines are that I don't realize until I start doing spokesperson work for the lottery. I'm like, they're everywhere here. Scratch-offs and Ravens tickets and Mega Millions and Powerball and all that stuff. We're going to have the crab cake here in a little bit. I brought you up. You live up here, right?
I do.
So I brought Barry Glassman over, and you live up here.
I live up here, yeah.
So we're selling our place in the city.
There's, like, nice people up here. Like,
at least a couple.
Oh, right. Well, two of them. I found three if I got Andrea, too. She's
yeah,
here,
really,
too. I'll find
really
her in a minute.
Surprised that,
okay,
that humans live up in this part of the state.
You know how much time I've spent in Harford County? I mean, come on. You give me a real hard time here about this. But I've never considered living here. You're both looking at me like, don't do it. Don't, well, you don't want me in your neighborhood.
Like, I'm not sure I want to be responsible for that. Like, I'm the one that
why do you
encouraged
live here?
Nestor to come
why do you
here.
Live here?
Like, then I
got, you didn't grow up here.
I grew up just, I like, Perry Hall, White Marsh.
Okay.
So my aunts lived up this way, so we were up this way. I don't know. It's good. It's nice. I get out of the fray. I mean, I
how long have you lived in Harford County?
More than...
2 decades?
10 years. No, but I mean...
A long time.
My whole family and life is that northern Baltimore County, southern Harford County area.
So you moved across the line?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay,
well, yeah,
enough.
No, not kind of, I did, yes.
Well, you could have lived in Baltimore County, but you chose to live here.
I did.
All right,
I
and your did. Business is not here.
My business is... An hour. Used to be 35 minutes while there was a pandemic.
Well, this is why I'm bringing this up, and you're looking at me like a cyclops here. Like I'm not doing shtick. Like, you could have lived near... You could have lived in Anne Arundel County. You could have lived in Ellicott City. You could have lived somewhere much closer to where you work.
Yeah, I don't know. We probably looked, and I talked about it, but I was probably the only one who was motivated to do that. Like,
right
my
on.
Wife and the family and everyone
family
else
was, here.
Was like... Well, why do you want to be that far away? Like, well, let me see. I drive to work and drive home.
Every day.
I come see the rest of my family, you know, I don't know, half a dozen, a dozen, 20 times a year, whatever the number is. But, you know, couldn't get any momentum there, so I just accepted it.
Why do you live here? You're not from Philly.
Philly. By way of Denver, so...
But we're in Philly. I think of you as a Philly guy.
Yeah, I grew up outside of Philly, a town called Swarthmore.
That's good. Well, train line, right? Swarthmore.
Right on the R6, yeah.
My sixth grade teacher was my favorite teacher ever, Miss Johnson, wanted me to go to Swarthmore.
Okay.
She dreamed
Wait,
of me
is
going
it
to Swarthmore.
Or Swarthmore?
Well, I don't know. It depends on what part of Philly you're from.
Yeah,
I would go to Swarthmore.
Hey, it's West Philly,
Swarthmore.
Eh?
Swarthmore.
West Philly.
Right, I'm going to listen to him on this one.
So, Harford County. Why Harford County for you?
So, I was living in Denver, and the company that I was working for moved me back here to coordinate sales and marketing from Wilmington, Delaware to D.C.
This is before the gummies.
For the gummies.
Go ahead.
So, it's just super convenient. You know, right, 95, a nice...
And you picked Bel Air.
Picked Bel Air, yeah.
Why and when? And like, give me all that.
This
you
was,
had your life saved here. Pretty good thought, right?
This was 2000. Yeah, I moved here in 2000.
Okay. 2001. 20 years yeah, in Harford County.
It's affordable. You're close enough, but you're far enough. You're in, you know, it has its own... community feeling.
It
right?
does.
So
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Ravens fans, lots of Ravens fans.
If you want to drive, call it 20 minutes in any direction, you can be in Horse Country, Rolling Hills, if that's what you want to look at. If you drive, you're going to drive 20 minutes, you can be downtown. You want to drive an hour, you're in Philly.
Right?
Yeah,
an hour
exactly.
in D.C.
Yep.
Yeah. So I have family still in Philadelphia.
I'm not arguing against Harford County. I'm simply saying I've never considered living in Harford. I've never considered living most places. I grew up in Dundalk. I moved to Kane Street. I moved to White Marsh for my kid to go to the Hall, Perry Hall. And then after that, my wife and I like saw the good life of a view. And we moved 18. We got married. The flood happened. The Isabel flood is what moved us out of White Marsh.
Right.
Our basement flooded. And I'm like, we don't need all this space. And kids out of high school, let's move downtown. We've never thought of leaving, moving, finally selling our place. So, like, I'm just asking native residents here about the good life in Harford County. I brought the county executive. He's convinced I'm coming.
I mean, like, it wouldn't be terrible to have you up here. Like, it would be okay.
It would be mildly okay.
Right. I think about how often you and I talk about your walks or the places you eat. So for Harford County to work for you...
I have to get in the car.
No, but you got to be, like, downtown Bel Air... or like somewhere where you could at least be able to walk to a handful. I feel like you would want that or miss that.
I would miss that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife and I have looked at a lot of places in a week. Like, we've looked in Catonsville. We've looked in Anawam County. We've looked in Howard County. Obviously, the city. I mean, I think the city is still... If you're giving odds right now, I would say the city's 2-1. Baltimore County's 3-1. Harford County, Anne Arundel County, and Howard County would be 8-1. I think, the further... This is too far from the city for me. Yeah. For me, I think Bel Air would be too far for me.
Yeah,
I think White Marsh, probably more in my speed. From in the airport and things that I do, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like just build the priority list, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what is the most important thing, and then work your way down. And I mean, I think Towson is interesting from the walkable living standpoint.
Yeah,
I mean, it's so different over there.
And than it was 20 years ago.
It's just, every time I drive over there, there's another giant building.
Nancy Hafford's trying to get me to move in, for sure. Moeller's, we're actually going to a place in Towson after this. Moeller's got a little townhouse right by things and Goucher and the radio station and all that stuff. All right, Eric Sauer's here. There goes my hair. Tell everybody how they can get involved. You've got events going on. We got Giving Tuesday. All that good stuff's happening, right?
Well, the website's theregoesmyhero.org. We're always looking for people to volunteer. We're always looking for people to join the bone marrow registry. Events have been kind of a moving target of late.
Weird. Yeah, like this.
This is weird. No, actually, it's not. I was kidding.
You and I have been in a room together once in 2 years.
No, but I see you on Zoom, so I don't
I see him
feel
on Zoom
like,
every week. I've been in a room once. We went to Accelerant together about 2 months ago.
Yeah, okay.
Have I been in a room with you?
We've been out in the river.
Oh, we went fishing together on the tour.
Which is
so we
even,
were together.
Really even better than
even
being
better
in
the room.
Yeah, I agree. Right. But in 2 years, I know you well. I know you well. If I got married
and
again tomorrow,
Zoom, yeah.
If I had a big event at my home, you all would be your insiders in my life. And yet we are removed. And I don't know that if I lived in Havana Grace, I'd see you any more frequently. I really don't know.
Right.
You know, it's been a strange time in our lives where I think the ambient part of Zoom and text and Facebook makes it feel like we do touch each other every day.
It does. It's interesting. I have people that I see every other week or every week, and I haven't seen them physically in 2 years.
But they were regulars your polo events,
correct.
Or the events that
I did not have to start a new relationship with them in Zoom. You know, I had their relationships.
It's a pretty scary concept, actually, to think about how much... Like, I don't feel like we haven't... oh, my gosh, Nestor, I haven't seen you. It really shouldn't be that way, right? Like, it really would be that way if we had only talked on the telephone.
Yeah.
I said this to Jen recently because I started Zooming June of the pandemic. Prior to that, I would get guests on the phone, and if the video would only have me, right? The YouTube, right. You go through that period of time, 16, 17, 18, 19... The videos, you hear the guest, and whoever the guest is, then we move to Zoom. I haven't done a radio-only piece in almost 2 years, and I say to Jen all the time, this is so much greater a gift to me to look at Dan Shaughnessy this week when I had him on from the Boston Globe, look at Bob Ryan when I have him on from the Boston Globe, look at Brandon Stokely when he calls in, look at Brian Billick.
I bet it's super for your audience, too, right? For us to see those guys who, you know, you see in other places.
Those guys. If you can block out his side of it.
Right? When I stop talking, I go away.
Right. It's perfect.
Which isn't often.
It's
not often, though. No, it's not. Bill Cole's here, Cole Roofing. And so tell me what you do, because I'm going to bid you adieu. I'm going to keep you around. I got a surprise for you.
Sure, sure.
I got a surprise for him.
Yeah. I'm hanging out at Nestor's live show for the first time in, I don't know, 45 years or something is what it sounds like. Commercial roofing.
You do the show every week.
I know, so everybody knows what I do, right? I've been in a complaining mood lately, and I complain.
You are a little somber today. I thought you'd come here with more energy. I mean, we got beer, we got crabs, we got oysters.
I'm trying to get there.
You got the day off.
We've got a turkey hangover going.
There's leftovers in the fridge. I mean, come on, life's good.
Yeah, no, I'm totally happy to be here.
Ravens are in first place. The Browns are in last place. Still good until the game starts.
Yeah, it's all good, man.
Everything okay?
Yeah,
good?
It's good to hang out.
All right, man.
Appreciate
Bill Cole.
Yep. Thanks. Enjoyed it.
Eric Sauer, two of my heroes. There you go. There go my heroes. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're at Conrad's Crabs. We're going to have Conrad's Crab Cakes. I'm looking at Conrad's oysters and clams and shrimp. And I saw two crab cakes on the table back here. I had the crab hash with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman. That was crab mixed with potato, spinach, peas, Brussels sprouts. It was like a crab pot pie without the crust.
Okay.
With an egg on top. So it was an egg. Yes, it was a breakfast hash, an egg, okay, egg crab hash.
Interesting.
With potatoes.
So we can get breakfast here too, huh?
Gosh, it was delicious. Yeah. But I'm saving some room for the crab cake because it is the holidays. Eric's going to stay with us. My wife's going to join us on the set. Bill's going to get out of here because he pretends to like me for one segment a week, not two. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy and our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Day drinking on Black Friday up in Harford County. Stay with us.